brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in the late night hour from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka. And, you know, we're grateful that we can always come together anywhere in the world at any time and speak truth, speak life, speak that which is necessary in such a time as this, as a world that we live in continues to spin, and the enemies of that which is true and that which is real continue to escalate their efforts to block light, block the truth, to keep souls on a grease pole to hell, and to keep them away from the true Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting to me how many people have such a hard time with Jesus. Just the name of Jesus, just the name of Jesus alone is enough to put most people on edge. Particularly those that are part of the world and the world system. That name grates against them. That name, they don't like to hear that name. They don't like what that name represents. They don't like what that name stands for, because it stands for the gate to the kingdom of light and truth. Jesus said, "I am the gate. By me any man enter in, he shall be saved. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So, you know, that name is something that you'll notice that people in the world have a hard time with the name of Jesus. And, you know, and then even with that too, if they have to bring Jesus into a dialogue, because you can't get away from it, he is the cornerstone, he is the stumbling block, he is that rock that grows and fills the whole earth, so you can't, you know, you're gonna have to deal with it. And but you know what then they try to do, another tactic is to try to make Jesus molded into their own image of what they want him to be. And they try to create another Jesus. They try to make God something else. They try to... So they don't want to hear, you know, even what Jesus said about himself. Even his own words. They don't want to hear those. They want to make Jesus something else. Because they can't have him being the only begotten Son of God. They can't have that. Because if he is the only begotten Son of God, and he is, in case you didn't know, but if they allow that establishing of that reality, then it solidifies very openly in the light their position as workers of iniquity, those that are in the darkness, those that refuse to come into the light. Because if they acknowledge that he is the only begotten Son of God, that then requires that either they repent or they turn their back on that which is true. And it's funny how people want to dance all over the place. They want to try to hide in scholarship, or they want to try to hide in interpretations, or try to hide in just intellectual jargon, to try to skirt the very issue of the divinity of Christ Jesus, the God of who he was, is, and always will be. He is I am. You know, when Jesus was in the earth, and when he spoke, and when he even, you know, when he asked Peter, he said, okay, you know, who do men say that I am? And he said, you know, some say the prophets, some say, Elijah, some say this, some say that. And Jesus said to him, he said, Peter, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, you are, that's who you are. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, did he rebuke him? Did he say, no, you didn't get it right? No, he said, blessed art thou, Simon, Barjona, because flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then he went on a little bit, and then he said, upon this rock, and he said, I tell you thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. So you are little rock, you are Peter, you're Petros, and upon this big rock, Petra, the confession and the revelation of who Christ Jesus is, upon that rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So here's the funny thing to me, and it's really funny because, when it comes to something like Islam, they will deny who Christ Jesus is, that he is the Son of God. They'll accept him as a prophet. They'll accept, but then they won't accept the words of the prophet, which doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand that. And I know there's some of you guys that listen in that you would subscribe to, what would be called the religion of Islam, and you listen. And I welcome you to write us, because I welcome you to just to write in and let us know and why, where this comes from. Because, if you accept somebody as a prophet, then you would have to accept the words of the prophet, and you would have to accept the things that he said, and the things that he said about himself, the things that are recorded, not in even the English, but into the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic. You would have to accept that which he spoke. You would have to accept the revelation of who he was. You would have to take the way that people have tried to twist things and turn things and see, does scriptures even work if you try to twist it in all these ways? And it doesn't. You can't pick and choose. It is not a buffet. You have to take the entire Word of God, the entire revealed Word of God, for what it is. And from that, then you have to go forward. And, that process of allowing yourself to be, to go on that path of truth. Here's the thing. If you ask God to reveal himself, if you come to him with honesty in your heart and you say, Lord God, would you, Father in heaven, my creator, the one who loves me and made me, would you please reveal to me the truth about who Christ Jesus is? I want to know what is real. I want to know what is true. I want to walk in the light of your truth. If you will do that, and if you will accept that which he'll do with you, he'll do it himself. Because what is the true church of the living God built upon? It's built upon the revelation of who Christ Jesus is. And only the Father who is in heaven can do that in a person's heart. No person can do that. That's why, too, when it comes to religions, look, we don't really subscribe to traditional religions as it is that they stand. Because the thing is, too, is that religions in the world have been used throughout time to divide and to do all kinds of horrible things in God's name, trying to use his name. And the thing is that if you even look through, even with Jesus, he told the early disciples, he said, look, a time will come when they will put you out of the synagogue because you believe in me, because because you want to mine. And so, I mean, so, you know, he didn't tell them that, you know, they'd have to leave. Time came, they told them to get out because they followed him, because they knew the truth. And the thing that you'll find is if you're a true follower of Christ Jesus, they will put you out. They will put you out of most of the... They will put you out unless they are seeking the truth. And if they are after the truth, then they will walk with Christ. And it's not based on a religion or a title, you know, or a denomination or a building or a structure or anything else along those lines. And that's the thing, too, is then you can also give up your structures. You can give up your titles. You can give up... You know what's funny is people will bite and devour and kill each other over titles and over things that they can't even tell you what they believe or what they even know, but they're willing to kill somebody else for it. Now, how dumb is that? You know, when Jesus went to the cross, you know... for the people that don't accept Jesus Christ for who he was, then you tell me why he was crucified. You tell me why he was crucified. Jesus Christ, the reason that he went to the cross was because he, when they were interrogating him and they couldn't get anything out of him, And then the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, you know, to tell us, you know, if you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you know, it's like Jesus said, you know, yep, essentially. He agreed. And when he agreed to that, they tore their robes, they... which incidentally, the high priest is not supposed to tear his robes. But they tore their robes and they said, you know, we've heard the blasphemy from his own mouth. What do you think? And they all said, oh, he's worthy to die because he, you know, was saying that he was God and the Son of God, the living Son of the living God. And when Jesus did that, that was the reason, that was his sentence. That was the reason that he went to the cross. He went to the cross because of that. And he also rose from the dead because of that. There was that to have an accusation against him. That was the accusation. Here's Jesus, the King of the Jews. That was the accusation put on the top, put on his crucifixion. So, but in the middle of all of that, what was he doing? He was working out the redemptive plan of God for all of mankind. The blood of Jesus was going forward to be shed on our behalf. So, you know, it was necessary that we went through, that he did what he did there. It was necessary that that the price was paid for your sins and for my sins. And, you know, the thing is that it's interesting to me how many people are opposed to Christ Jesus. And where Jesus said, look, if they hate me, if they hate you, just remember they hated me first. So, you know, so this is why, too, it's not something that you should stress about. If people come after you, or if people are against you, for being a child of light and truth, and for being somebody that walks with him, walks with your Heavenly Father, has been made right with the Father through the blood of Christ Jesus, because they hated him. They still hate him, you know, because they choose to walk in the darkness. Now, the thing is that's interesting is, too, is that there is a push, you know, with with the, all of these desires for spiritual enlightenment in this time right now too. And what's funny to me is how so much of it seeks to take things that Christ Jesus has spoken, that Christ Jesus has revealed, and seeks to try to harness that, but still and take what God has revealed and what Jesus has done, and to take the principles, but to leave aside the reality of who Christ Jesus is. It's kind of comical to me. But, you know, the other side of it, too, that's funny, is the fact that because, by and large, the institutional church, and I'm talking about the organization, I'm talking about the structure, I'm talking about, you know, that which is, been put in place by the traditions of man, by and large, that has been so spiritually bankrupt for so long that... When people see these movements, you know, that have some feigning of truth, but deny the power thereof, you know, that's the thing. Strong delusion is in that. They refuse to love the truth. Now, who is the truth? Well, Christ Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, no one comes to the Father but by Him. So because there is a refusal to love the truth, and or they take elements of the truth and twist it so that they can have something, basically so they can have a Jesus they can accept, a Jesus that now works for them, a Jesus now that is made into their own image and their own likeness. You know, a Jesus that they can go have a latte with, that's comfortable. Look, lordship and kingship. He is the King of Kings. King means you are under His authority. King means He calls the shots. King means that you follow His leading, His guiding. Now, there is something that's amazing, though, with the mystery of God, which is that we become also the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ is consummated with Him, consummated with His Spirit, becoming one in Him, becoming unified with His Spirit. So there is a divine and incredible mystery in this entire thing, too, that we go from being separate from Him to being consummated and one in His Spirit. One with light and truth, one with that which is real, and that quickens and empowers the entire person of who we really are, that makes us then living epistles, living letters of who God is, living witnesses in the earth at such a time as this, though our true reality is beyond this plane and this paradigm of existence. So, you know, now when you've been grounded in that, all the rest of this surface stuff is really not that important. All the rest of it doesn't matter that much. But God still does have us here to live as Christ and to die as gain. So to be here for a window of time is part of the process, is part of that which is necessary. And that is not necessarily about you. That's about His will, His plan, God's purpose. Look, He will settle scores. Don't worry about that. He will uproot the wicked. He will tear them down. They will, all their schemes will come to nothing. All of that, yeah, that's done. It's stupid what they do. The things that they do are stupid. All of their intellectualism is dumb. All of their study and all of their man-built agendas and their desires to push and to try to get everybody to be part of their club, it's really, really dumb. Look, it's like when Saul, who later became Paul, when Saul was persecuting the early church, And brilliant man, and a very godly man at that time. Just wasn't righteous. He was godly, he just wasn't righteous. There's a lot of people running around like that, actually. They're godly, but they're not righteous. I.e. right standing with God. But they're very godly, yeah. Paul, or Saul at the time, was a very godly person. He just wasn't righteous. But when God met him on the road to Damascus, and as he was going to Damascus, and God knocked him to the ground, and he said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute who? Who is he persecuting? Why do you persecute me? Now, was he the person doing something to Jesus physically? No, but he was doing something to his body that was one in him, that had been consummated with his spirit, that were ambassadors of Christ, that were representatives of him in the earth. So to go after and to do something against that which is one in him is to do something against him. Why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? Said Paul. I am Jesus. I'm Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm Jesus who you're persecuting. And he says, and what did he say too? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. to kick against the pricks. Now, essentially, I'm going to butcher this a little bit, but got to go back and do a study on this because it's been a long time. But essentially, they had this thing with when they were trying to train animals not to kick back, like donkeys, if they were going and they were trying to train them not to kick back behind them. And they had this thing called the pricks, which, they put behind where they were trying to kick. And if they kicked that, they would hurt themselves, it'd sting themselves. And so every time that the donkey would try to kick back, it would kick into this thing that would essentially, it's like you kicking a concrete wall. You're not going to win. Okay? Your foot is going to get all mashed up. You're going to hurt yourself, and you can keep kicking it as long as you want to, but eventually the wall's going to win. So, Jesus said to Saul, look, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, i.e., you're not going to win, brother. You're not going to win. And he appeared on the road to Damascus for Saul, who would later become Paul. Because in Acts 26, he talks, when Paul is recounting this experience to Agrippa, he said, God appeared unto me, make me a witness unto the Gentiles. And he appeared to me to take me from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. From the power of Satan unto God. That is a powerful, powerful thing. Though Saul was godly before that experience, he was not righteous. And there's a lot of people that are running around that are godly people, spiritual people, but they're not righteous. They're not in right standing with God. They're not in right standing with Him because there's the central issue, the cornerstone, that stumbling block. Who is Christ Jesus? Because either he is, and I know this statement's been out there before, and I'll say it again, either he is Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. Either he is Lord, he is who he said he is, or you got to choose something else. See, for the follower of Christ, we've embraced Christ Jesus 100% for who He is, who He said He was, who He said He is, who He said He will always be. We've accepted that. We've taken that in. His Word is in us. We remain in His Word. His Word is in us. In Him we live and move and have our being. We've been consummated with His Spirit and His Word and His truth. And so we have basically said, Lord God, that's it. We receive, we go through that gate, which is Christ Jesus, and we go forward in you. The revelation of who he is, you've done that in our hearts. We know that Jesus is who he said he is. You've revealed that to us. We understand. We know, and it's in our spirits because we have been called by your name. And from that place, then we go forward. And that is the gate. That is the place that people get stuck. They get stuck. And the thing is that, you know what? If you are not sure, if you are struggling with this, if you are debating about this, if you have a hard time because of whatever religious tradition that you've come from, or perhaps you grew up in the church, but still Jesus has been molded into something by the institution that he's not. Look, you need to have a revelation of who he is for who he is. You need to know him for who he is. And he is the living God. And it is not a hard thing for him to reveal himself unto you. But there's a willing heart as well. And if you in your heart want that which is real, want that which is true, and are hungry for a revelation of the truth of who he is, God will do that for you. And trust me, you want that. What do you have to lose? Honestly, what do you have to lose? I mean, if Jesus is not who he said he is, then what are we doing wasting our time? Why do we do this? Why do we spend this much? Just, you should ask yourself even that question. If you listen in and you're curious, why are these guys spending this much time and energy and resource and everything to put out all of this about this Jesus? Why are they going and doing that? What is driving these people? I mean, for us, we know why. You know, there's nobody that is standing behind us making us do this in the natural, but we are compelled by his Spirit and the love that we have for him to share this, to share that which he's revealed in us. And it's not a laborious thing. It is a delight. It is a joy. Because we found that which is real. We found that which is true. You know, the early disciples, they were so overjoyed when they met Jesus. And they were running and telling everybody else. They were telling them because they were like, you know, we've met him. This is the Christ. This is the Son of God. This is it. And they've run around and they've told everybody. They wanted to tell everybody. Why? Because they were excited. Because they had truth, and they had light, and they had life, and they had the reason and the purpose for existence was now there. The Word of God was there among them. And they were excited, and they wanted to tell somebody else about it. They wanted other people to know. And the Word spread fast. That's why everywhere that Jesus went, people just came running. But at the same time, there were also a lot of people that had a hard time. Because that word cut, and that word cut to the core of who they were, and they struggled with that because they couldn't manipulate Jesus. They couldn't make him something that they wanted him to be. To walk with Jesus was to accept his lordship, accept his rule and his reign over their lives. To accept that he is who he said he is, and to line your life up with that, you had to be willing to forsake all in order to follow him. You couldn't, as they say, have your cake and eat it too. you couldn't have your foot in the world and your foot in the kingdom. You either were in the kingdom of light and truth, or you were in the kingdom of lies and darkness. He is the gate, and that gate is the dividing line. And there is a need to make a choice and to make a decision. So don't harden your hearts. Look, if you ask and seek and knock, ask you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. You know, if you will put yourself out there, and look, listen, don't even take us for anything that we've said up until now, if you don't want to. You yourself, you take this challenge. You do it yourself. You yourself, go lock yourself in a room. Go walk out on a hillside somewhere. You yourself, go by yourself and either bow or stand there before your Creator who's in heaven. And you yourself ask Him and say, Father, my Father who's in heaven, I'm going to come to you, whatever your name may be. I just know you are the one that created all of this and made me, fashioned me, made me. All I'm going to ask you, Lord, is would you reveal yourself unto me? Would you make yourself known unto me for who you truly are? And would you also reveal to me who it is that Jesus is? Would you make it known to me according to what is true and what is real? Would you do that, Lord, for me? And I'm just going to leave it up to you. And you just pray that. You just ask Him. Just do that. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? You have everything to gain. But what do you have to lose? If you will put yourself out there and ask your Father in heaven to reveal Himself unto you, to make it known unto you, He'll do it. I know He will. He is the one that loves you so much that He would send His only begotten Son to die on a cross for you. And His Son, out of love for you, would willfully go and do that. Ah, it's a beautiful thing. And it is yours. The gift of God is yours. It's yours in Christ Jesus. And I want you to know this for yourself. It's something that is not contingent on man. It's not contingent on tradition. It's not contingent on where you were born or your family situation, what the color of your skin, the language that you speak, nothing like that. It's just contingent on your heart being open. You know, don't harden your heart if God's speaking to you. Just ask, seek, knock. You shall receive. You'll find. The door will be open. And, you know, from somebody who has had, you know, this experience has been very real unto us. You know, I bless you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you in that name. And in Jesus' name, I just pray. I pray that God keeps you, God protects you, and He raises you up. And I pray for a powerful revelation of the reality of who He is, that it may be real in your life in every way. And with that, hey, God bless you guys. We love you. Hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. say hi. You can also reach us through our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix, one word, and you will find us there. And say hi. You know, we always appreciate it. And we'll catch up with you soon. All right. Keep on keeping on. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye.